British forces are currently deployed on 39 operations across 46 countries. But what are they doing in these remote and far-flung locations? The FBS joined up with the MOD to find out what life's really like for those on ops. This time, we're having a brew with the British Army in Iraq.
I'm Lance Sergeant Anthony McCormack from 1st Battalion Scots Guards, currently deployed on Operation Shield 12 in Erbil, Iraq. With me today, we've got
Guardsman Lilly,
Guardsman Sixmy,
and Lance Sergeant Jim Henry.
Like I said, currently located in Erbil, Iraq, which is northern Iraq and Kurdistan. Can you explain what Operation Shader is and what is the overall mission?
Support mission to the Kurdistan military and
the government as a support training and just basically teaching them the way the British Army conducts themselves and passing on skills and drills that we know to them.
I think it's about having a forward presence as well, especially for the British government. This is our most northernly presence in Iraq, so just keeping a foothold in a place where there's been turmoil over the last couple of years, I think is part of the main part of the mission of Shader as well.
Get classed as army taxis only.
Yeah.
Yep. We're just always taxiing everyone about.
So, yeah, so basically with that, we get tasks throughout the duration that we're here. Picking up various people to take to key leader engagements, meetings, taking people to possible flashpoints that's been in the past to see how they could be improved, especially like the Kurds' way of providing security for these positions. So you get to meet different people with taking them out in the taxis.
Okay, then like I said, obviously we're in Kurdistan. So I'm going to brief a little bit more on where exactly Kurdistan is and what it is like.
It's a northern, slightly autonomous province of Iraq. So obviously the people here are very different from what previously experienced by other people, maybe in the Republic of Iraq. We had a visit recently and my commanding officer came out, and from speaking to him, his experiences of being in Iraq before, Kurdistan is completely different compared to the Republic of Iraq. And just the people here, the people are different. I think there's a lot more diverse amount of people and they're just very friendly and very pro-UK as far as I found out about yourselves.
Definitely, yeah.
What about the camp itself, where we're currently based? Accommodation, food situation, stuff like that?
So the accommodation, I would say it's just, I would simplify it, it's like a big massive ISO container with like four beds in it. So four blocks, all women can, you know, share it. There is quite a bit of space in it, the way it's laid out. Two beds at either side with metal wardrobes in the middle.
Aircon as well.
Aircon inside, when it does work.
Yeah, when it works.
When it doesn't work, it's an absolute nightmare. It's like a sweatbox inside.
What about the layout of camp as well?
Easy to get to different facilities. Obviously, we've... Previous tours have constructed stuff for us to use. So, for example, the volleyball court that's there to be constructed. There's like a hut with outside seating areas for us as well, which is pretty good. The Iron Chapel, the gym that's been set up and slowly added to over time. So the facilities actually on our camp are brilliant.
To accommodate us all, we've got quite a good homely feeling because you're all intertwined.
Yeah.
We have to get outside to use laundry facilities and eating facilities, which are provided by like American service.
Leading on for what you said about the ISO container rooms, so when you first go into them, it is kind of like an empty shell, but I guess it's what you make them. Like when you start adding your own stuff and making it a bit more homely, it gets a bit better.
Yeah, the food situation as well. So you've got the American dining facility, the food gets a little bit monotonous, but they're repetitive.
There is a lot of facilities that we can use on the actual base, but at the minute, due to COVID restrictions, we can't use them until you're fully vaccinated and you've had your incubation period after your last vaccination. But by the sounds of the guys that they're allowed to use them, the different facilities are good.
Yeah,
we've had a pizza out of them.
Yeah, pizza, a couple of barbecues. But we can also get other people to go to the restaurants and cafes for us and bring us back food. That's what we want.
The American like coffee facilities have been absolutely rinsed, yeah.
Good old smoothie.
what kind of things do you get up to within Job the Whole Bash itself in your downtime?
The FIFA,
well,
the gym,
welfare room with a
volleyball,
TV.
Yeah, welfare room. Loads of things in it, loads of board games and that we use all the time.
You've got the PlayStation and Xbox in the guard room as well.
Yeah.
I also got the volleyball court, which gets a fair bit of use.
Yeah.
Gets a battering, doesn't it?
By the Bud Mavericks and Gooses.
Mm-hmm. We've actually held an international competition recently where we had the Dutch over, Germans, Americans, Canadians were there as well, I think.
Yeah.
I think a couple of Canadians there. That was pretty fun. I said before, I think we bonded with the Dutch the most over the fact that we both didn't want the Americans to win. So, as long as the Americans didn't win, everyone was happy.
Yeah, the gyms, you're limited, obviously, because you're in operations, but even though we've still got great facilities, there's no need for anybody to let any kind of fitness suffer. You've got all the facilities that you want to use. You just have to, your mind, your imagination's your limit.
I think it's been a good opportunity for a lot of boys to get fit, though. The period that we have been here, you can absolutely abuse that, John.
You get plenty of downtime to allow you to go in there a couple of times a day if you wish.
You can go, exactly, a couple of times a day and just... You're not under any constraints to be told or to grade for fitness, so you're kind of under your own steam. So you can do stuff that you enjoy rather than stuff that you've been told to do, which a lot of guys probably find a bit more beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. I think having your own plan, having your own idea of the goals you want to set rather than getting forced to do a certain PT session that maybe you don't want to do, it's probably pushed a lot of boys out of their shell to actually get to the gym.
What is the weirdest thing that's happened so far, if anything, I can think of, whilst the game, whilst you've been here?
Weirdest.
We were handed out, obviously, as you do, exchanging patches, exchanging flashes with people. So we'd obviously exchanged a load of Scottish Saltires and a lot of blue, red, blue, and then coming out of the vehicle 10 minutes later on to see like a section's worth of Peshmerga with blue, red, blue flashes and Scotland flags on was a bit surreal. And to think now that they're probably up there in their outpost with blue, red, blue flashes on. I think the guy even said himself that he wanted to come to Incremental Company and stag on in front of Buckingham Palace. I'd like to see that.
Just
to think there's a fire team up in now with blue, red, blue flashes and Scotland flags on.
Cutting about with shades on and that.
Yeah, that was a bit surreal. The job I went on recently to the south was quite a humbling experience. You've got people herding, shepherding goats, sheep and stuff like that living under tarpaulin.
All the everyday flogging watermelons at the side of the road.
Yeah, that's entirely. I was surprised about the
goats on the road.
The sheer amount of watermelons. People selling balloons as well, inflatable balloons.
Paddling pools.
Yeah, there's
paddling pools as well.
There's so many balloon vendors and watermelon vendors. They must have them in excess.
They're huge as well, aren't
they?
Yeah.
Big one then. Is anyone missing home? I know myself, I don't think I've been away too long. Plus, with the facilities available, Wi-Fi, I can just FaceTime home anytime I want.
Yeah. I think for the job we're doing, the time frame we came out was pretty much perfect. Not being here too long for it to get too monotonous, but being here long enough to get a gauge of the ground and then get good at what we're doing.
Experience as well.
Yeah, I've not really missed home that much.
I think the present day facilities, Wi-Fi and that, it's just as if you're just in another town. For us, we're based in Aldershot. It's just still being in Aldershot and your family being in Scotland, you're just still on a phone link. It doesn't seem as if you're a couple of thousand miles away and
just on an exercise.
It's just so surreal. So it is, back to the previous question, it's just so surreal because you're on an operation, but the way that you foresee and people maybe perceive operations back in the UK is you're away out in the wilderness with no facilities or anything. Here it's actually you're doing an operation, but you could actually be in the UK doing this operation. It's that kind of surreal.
Yeah. And obviously, I deployed to Louisiana a couple of years ago, and I had less communications there than I do now. To get home, definitely.
So it's even the case in the UK. I speak to my family now more than I do in the UK.
I couldn't get no Wi-Fi when we're on Bodney Camp on pre-deployment.
put your phone at the window to download it. Yeah.
Stood there like that.
Yeah.
You couldn't even speak to the wife for days.
You had to go to the door to get a signal, good enough 4G signal to get your camera on, whereas here you can
You're in your bed space or anything to get into the facilities.
It's not like back in the day where you'd have to send a carrier pigeon or a
blue or something. A blue or a phone call every 3 or 4 days with your Paradigm phone card.
That was the case. Obviously, I've done Herrick as well, and that was the case. 30 minutes a week on your phone card.
Never got to see them either
because there was no like FaceTime facilities or anything. You had to go to the welfare tent to use a little bit of Wi-Fi.
Webcam.
Now yeah, just roll over, wake up in the morning, roll over, scroll through Facebook and whatnot.
Taking selfies.
That's one thing. Yeah, welfare facilities are good.
Obviously, you mentioned other deployments. So, how does this compare to any other deployments you've done so far?
Yeah, so I've been to Terlik. I've been to Iraq twice before Operation Terlik. In 2004 and 11. Different pace of operations then because there was a lot more patrolling and whatnot. Compared to now, we're kind of post all that time. We're trying to get like more integration with the Peshmerga. I'm training them up to be as good as, if not better than they can be.
Afghan, to me, was totally different to this. Like, you were on patrol every day. You didn't know what was coming, whereas here, like, you know what's coming. Like I said, the Pesh, they're a lot more professional. You can actually rely on them. You know what's going to, you know, what you're going out to do.
This is my first deployment, so this is all I've ever known. This is my only experience of getting away. I think it's been a good experience in terms of getting to know the culture and stuff like that. But if you ask any junior guardsman, any junior rifleman, you're always striving for a bit more. But it's been a good insight into what it's like to be deployed and getting used to different skills and drills and stuff, and hopefully leading on to more future deployments.
Obviously, we spoke about the accommodation already, but what's your thoughts on the living situation? How does it compare back home? Obviously, back home, we're in single-man rooms. Here, we're surrounded by three other guys. 24/7, pretty much.
I don't mind it. Like, you get to speak to different blokes that you wouldn't normally back at home, because obviously we're from different companies, which I've enjoyed, because obviously you get to know like the lads a bit more that you didn't really get to speak to back home. So I've enjoyed it that way.
So yeah, back at work, it's too easy. At the end of the working day, you just go back to your room. Yeah, the door closes and you don't see anyone until the next day. Here, you're with at least three other people in your room 24 hours a day. So
I think what here is done, rather than back in your single accommodation, is when you come out here and you've got four men, it brings camaraderie right back to the forefront of everything. Whereas in the UK, with a single room, you don't get that, because when you finish work at night, you go back to your room and that's you. You watch the telly or whatever, you hardly see anybody. Whereas here, you come back, you're in a room with another three people, and you can spin off each other, have a laugh, and you have that integration that you really don't have in, you know, back in the single living in accommodation back in camp.
One that you said there about how like rifle companies, how we're from separate companies and stuff like that, has been a good opportunity for us as well to like share different bits of knowledge that we might have that usually rifle companies might not be able to get, or we might not be able to get. So like, obviously rifle companies providing lessons to us, and then obviously we're from support companies, so providing support company briefs to people. It's been a good opportunity for us to spin bits to each other really, and like give each other different.
Poach people from rifle companies as well.
Yeah.
So what would be your best bit of advice for someone thinking about joining the military?
Don't. No, I'm joking, honestly. No, No, I wouldn't, like, personally, I would, like, I'm 30 and I've decided to do it full time, do you know what I mean? Like, it's good. It helps, you travel a lot, you learn a lot from different people, you pick up a lot of different things from other people, which I enjoy doing, like learning how other people work in different environments, and it is always good to have different types of skills. So yeah, I would definitely say, like, I would say personally, try it. If you don't like it, at least you give it a go.
No, I agree as well. Obviously, I like a good purge as much as the next man, but at the end of the day, it's a good job, stable, and like I said, you get to travel all over the place and do some pretty interesting things whilst getting paid for it.
I'm I'm the most junior here, so I'm most recent to really pass out of training. I've just hit my 4-year point, and I'd say have an open mind, definitely. When I went to training, I thought I'd be flying about the world, going to different war zones, and it's not necessarily what it's going to be anymore. It's going to be, you've got to keep an open mind and realise that the Army's mission's changing. We're going to be doing different stuff all over the globe. It might not be war fighting, it might be whether it's support missions in Africa or whatever. Just keep an open mind and realise that you're still going to get the same experiences that people had a few years ago. It might just be in a different way.
It's like me coming from reserves. Like, I'll still speak to the lads from the reserves. Mm. Even though I'm like now 1SG, I was originally like Yorks, but that still doesn't matter what battalion you move to or whatever, you still have that banter, that closeness with the lads that you first joined with.
I've done it two ways. So often I was in for 16 and a half years, I got out for 9, and I've just recently rejoined last year. So I would say, yeah, you don't get the same life or the same camaraderie and everything you have in civilian life and civilian jobs as you do with the Army. You make friends for life. It's like you could not see somebody for 10 years and I could guarantee you probably meet them and you'll pick up for the conversation that you had or finished up on them 10 years prior. Or however it was since you've seen them, that bond of friendship and just brothers in arms, it never goes away. Mm-hmm. And you just don't get that in civilian street.
Yeah, it stays with you for life, even people that I've not met. So talking from veterans, people who have left but are part of our regiment, you go to like Scots Guards Association stuff, you meet them on Black Sunday or Remembrance Day, and they'll treat you like they fought side by side with you. They'll treat you like they knew you when they were serving. I think that's amazing, like having that. It's a good way to gauge experience. It's a good way to make friends, like through the generations.
Thanks for listening to Fancy a Brew. Check out other episodes at bfbs.com/podcasts.